If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, I want to try to just tie this up and put a little bow on it, if you will, about being approved unto God, our inspector. And this morning's message, talking about the inspector being observant and him being set in his ways and him being or him knowing exactly what he's looking for or exactly what he wants out of our lives. But look at chapter 5 of the book of Galatians and verse 16. And Paul writes and says this. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So as we kind of look at the end of this chapter here in the book of Galatians, I see a lot of things that would cause an individual, a Christian, a believer in Christ, a child of the King, to either be approved or disapproved of God, our life's inspector. You see, we want more than anything this next generation to be approved unto God. Come on, parents, older folks in the church, don't we? Because it's not about us. It's about the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Will there be someone to carry on things here at Lighthouse Baptist Church in the future? Until Christ comes? How's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen if they're approved unto God. And it's not going to happen if they're not. So we need to teach them, right? We need to pass on these things from generation to generation. Just go look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and see what Moses had to say about passing things on to the next generation. It's very important. Joshua, he even had something to say about making sure that the ancient landmarks were not removed so that they would know what had happened there. And if they said, hey, if they ask what meaneth these stones, we can tell them what they mean. God tells us we're supposed to tell the marvelous and mighty works of God to our children and to our children's children. We're supposed to show to the generations to come what God has done for us. And certainly, as believers in Christ, when we're saved and we're filled with the Spirit of God, what He's given to us, and He is comes and indwells the believer, we certainly need to not only ourselves, but teach to the next generation to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. To crucify the flesh. To set it aside. To make sure that these works of the flesh are not manifest in our lives. You know, one of the things that is completely destroying our world and society are the first things that are mentioned here. Do you notice that? Look at verse 19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Do you notice that the things that he mentions first are the very things that are destroying our world today? Yeah, these things of sexual sins. You know, I think I told you before, but I'm about sick and tired of first and second and third graders being pressured into having girlfriends and boyfriends. I mean, for real? It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. But you know what? It's on every TV show, in every movie, on every billboard, on every Facebook page, on every Twitter account. It is whatever social media is out there, whatever movies are out there. This thing, and think the order they're put in here in Scripture. It is suffocating the next generation to where that's all some people think about. And that's all some people dwell on. And that's all that consumes an individual's life. You wonder why there's such perversion today physically? It's because of this. It's because of this, and it's awful. And it's eating our kids alive. It's terrible. But we are here to make sure that they're approved unto God and that these works of the flesh are not manifest in their life. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You can bundle all those together in that category. Look at the next one. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Here you have a whole different gamut of sin and wickedness. And listen, idolatry doesn't have to be worshiping some idol somewhere. It's just worshiping anything more than God, or other than God, I should say. We need to make sure that our young people know who is to be worshipped. I closed out the, and I was going to do it tonight, but I'll do it another night. I closed out camp with reading Psalm 150. In 6 verses, David says the word praise 12 times. We need to teach them who to praise. We need to teach them who deserves glory and honor. We need to teach them who to worship. God is the only one deserving of those things. We need to make sure that they do not violate this. Hey, witchcraft is not a joke. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not just a Hollywood, what's it called? Special effect. It's real. I was speaking to someone about this earlier, this week, about the angels. And the demons that were kicked out of heaven with Satan. Those guys they're not a joke. It's not a fantasy. They're not fake. They really have power. They really can do those things. But witchcraft's a real thing. And something that our young people, they have to deal with. Perhaps from time to time. This thing of hatred and variance and emulations, wrath and strife. My goodness. One of the preachers said, you know, stop playing the victim card. Everybody thinks they're a victim, right? But this hatred and this stuff is real. You know, today, in today's society, if you don't agree with somebody else, they hate you. Like, well, no, I just disagree with you. Well, you know, let me get on that little soapbox earlier. You know, these people that believe in different lifestyles, they want to force that down my throat. They want to, I hate even to say this, but, you know, this is Pride Month. Why can't I have a Pride Month? You want a Pride Month? Why can't I have one? But because I don't want to celebrate your pride and the sin you've chosen, that's hate speech? Well, I just disagree with you. Why is that hatred? I don't understand. But they hate me for that. So that it's real in our lives today. I'm talking about being approved unto God. All these things, of course, the envyings, the murders, the drunkenness, the revelings, all these things. But what does need to be manifest in our lives? The fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with those things, those affections, Those works of the flesh that are manifest in people's lives. And we are to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to live. And that's how we'll be approved by God. You know what God has given us? He's given us the very thing that we need to be approved by God in our lives. But many times, we end up quenching the Spirit of God. Many times, we end up ignoring the Spirit of God. Many times, we end up walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit like we should. Many times, we just do our own thing instead of doing the Spirit's thing. And many times, we end up living on empty instead of full in the Spirit. You know, I taught this in our Sunday school class, and I've said it before. Our life is a cup. And a lot of people see a cup and they say, well, that's an empty cup. I said, no, it's full of something. It's full of air. Or it's full of this, or it's full of that. And the only way a cup can be full of something, if it is only that thing in there and nothing else. Right? So if it's air, if it's water, if it's Dr. Pepper, or, you know, this is Texas, right? Whatever it is, coffee, that makes me happy. Or what'd you say, green machine smoothie drink? Whatever is that, Sarah? And whatever it was. Okay, whatever it is, you could say it's full of such and such. So if I'm going to be full of the Spirit of God, what has to be true? That's all that's in my cup. It's all that's in my cup. And we need to teach that to our kids so that they can be approved unto God likewise. Well, I just wanted to kind of wrap things up today and just let you know that we indeed truly are thankful to you, our dear church family, for your love and your support, your prayers, giving to things like the youth camp fund and all of that, that allows these kids to be able to go to camp and to be able to listen to God and to make decisions that are profitable for their future. And I think it ought to be a good thing for all of us to be concerned with God, the inspector of our lives, and being approved unto God.